Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and today we are still in Hebrews Part 1, and we're on Lesson Number 8, and we will be in Chapter 2 and 3. So let us begin our study today in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking you, Father, to teach us your word. Father, may the Holy Spirit guide our minds and our thoughts and everything that we read and study. I pray you will indwell it into our minds and hearts that we may live it, Father. And in applying it to our life, we want to share it with others. And we need you, Father, to teach us. And we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. Now, looking back, we are studying the book of Hebrews. And in the overview, when we first began reading through the entire book of Hebrews, we found that the book of Hebrews is a word of exhortation or encouragement to Jewish believers about Jesus, the perfect high priest. So I'm going to quickly go through a list of what we've learned about Jesus. This study is all about Jesus. And in these first two chapters that we have already studied, there are many things that the author pointed out about Jesus. So I don't know if you'll be able to write these down, but I will try to read them to you, and you might can make some notes as I read these things about Jesus we learned in chapters 1 and 2. First, we learned that he's the Son of God, and also he is God himself. Second, God spoke to us in him, in Christ. And we learned, third, that he's a creator and a sustainer of all things. Number four, we learned that he will rule over God's kingdom forever. Number five, he's the same and does not change. Number six, the Son is better than the angels. And number seven, Jesus became flesh and blood, a man, to die for all mankind. Number eight, for a little while he was made lower than the angels. Number nine, the Lord spoke God's word. Number 10, Jesus is the one who sanctifies. Number 11, he rendered the devil powerless. 12, he helps the descendants of Abraham. In other words, all believers. And 13, he made propitiation for sins. And 14, he helps those who are tempted. Now we're going to look at Jesus in different stages. First of all, we're going to look at him as becoming man. And we're going to read a lot of scripture that we can see how that the word points to Jesus as becoming a man. And the first scripture that we're going to look at is in Luke 1:26-35. So if you will turn with me to Luke 1, and we will see first of all how that Jesus became a man. Reading verses 26 through 35. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Mary, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greetings this was. And then the angel said to her, excuse me, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So, reading that, we can see then that as the angel announced to Mary that she was to have a son and that she was to name him Jesus. And then let's look at Luke 2:21-24. Just turn over now to Luke 2:21-24. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So Joseph and Mary kept God's law written by Moses, the law of purification, by going to the appointed feast in the tabernacle. And Jesus was presented there for his circumcision. Jesus lived in an earthly family, but he was the Son of God, Most High, the future King forever. He was the Savior, Christ the Lord. Now look at Luke 2:50-52. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So his parents we see didn't always understand what he did, but they knew the truth of who he was. So he subjected himself to them as his parents. You can see the man in him by the things that he did. Let's look now at John 7, 2, 7. John 7, 2, 7. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers, therefore, said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For even his brothers did not believe in him. And then Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil." So here in these verses, we're seeing that even his earthly brothers didn't believe in him as the Savior, the Christ, until later. And later on in Scripture, you learn after his resurrection, they believed. Now let's go on, and there's going to be just a lot of Scriptures in this study, because they point to Jesus, who he was as a man and also as the Son of God and as Savior of the world. Look at Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." Now this is back in the Old Testament, many, many years before Jesus was born. And the prophet Isaiah was prophesying about the coming of Jesus. And he was saying in his prophecy that he didn't look special and he was not esteemed. And men despised and forsook him, and he was acquainted with sorrow and grief. Now, we want to compare Matthew 4:1-11 with Luke 22:39-44 about Jesus as a man. Let's go back now to Matthew in the New Testament and look at chapter 4, of verses 1 through 11. This is a lot of reading, but it's teaching us what God's Word is saying about Jesus. We're learning how that he came to this earth as a man. Now, starting with verse 1, and I'll try to read quickly because there's a lot in these. And then Jesus, this is Matthew of chapter 4, verse 1. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle, I'll get it right in a minute, of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to them, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So we see in these verses, Jesus as a man, he was tempted just as we are tempted. And what he used to overcome that temptation was the Word of God. And that's what we as believers have to do today. We have to use God's Word to help us to overcome. And the Holy Spirit that lives in us helps us to bring to mind those words. Now then, let's go and look at Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. You'll go there quickly and look at verses 39 through 44. "Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground." So here again, we see Jesus as a man. He felt just as we do, and being a man, he knew that he needed to pray to help him endure. His flesh was weak, as any man's is, but his spirit, the spirit believers we today have dwelling with us, is always strong enough to overcome the flesh. And he was in agony. We see that Jesus had feelings as any human being, but he trusted his Father completely. Now then, let's go to Philippians and see again how that God's Word tells us that he was a man just as today, men today in the flesh. He was in the flesh. And go to Philippians chapter 2 and look at verses, I'll find it here in a minute, 2:5-11, Philippians 2:5-11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what is he saying here in these verses of Jesus being a man? He is God, but he took on the form of a man, and he humbled himself to become obedient, to the point of death on the cross. And God exalted him highly, and he gave him a name above all names, so that everyone will bow before him and confess him as Lord. In Hebrews 1, we learned that it said that he has a more excellent name than the angels. Even they are to worship him. Now then, we've looked at Jesus as a man, and now let's look at Jesus' death. We learned in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. So look at Galatians 3:13. Let's turn back now to Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So we see that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. He is the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, who takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus became a curse for us as his blood redeemed us. He became sin so that we could become righteous. Now let's look at Romans 8, verse 1 and 11. Turn back now to the book of Romans. No, we go forward. Need to go back to the book of Romans and looking at Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. First, we saw that Romans 1 said there is no condemnation for those who believe in Christ Jesus. He was condemned, but we're not, because he went to the cross and took our place, was a sacrifice for us. He was condemned. And his Spirit gives us life and lives in us. He suffered death for us to have life. And so nothing can separate us from him. Let me go and read chapter 8, verses 39. Let me get there right quick. 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. So you see in the scriptures that because Jesus went to the cross and died for us, that nothing is going to be able to separate us from His love. He was separated from the Father on our behalf so that we don't ever have to be separated. Now then, let's do a Galatians 2:20. You're going to have to go forward to Galatians. Let me find that right quick. 2:20. Okay. Bear with me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So again, we see that Jesus died as a man. We are also crucified with Him if we believe that He died and He lives in us. So it's a life of faith like He lived here on earth. Remember, He was here on earth in the flesh and went to the cross and died. And because He died, because He took our sins, because we believe that He died and rose again the third day and is seated with the Father, then we have faith to believe that, and that we too also will live as He lives. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:1-8. 2 Corinthians, you got to go back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 8. And I'll try to read these quickly because it tells us about His resurrection. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present in the Lord. So, what is He saying here? Even if we die physically, we'll not die spiritually. We'll be at home with the Lord Jesus when we die. Now, I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're almost through, but it's very important that we can see Jesus as a man, and that we can see as a man that he died as a man, and he suffered as a man, just as we suffer. Looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whether believers die physically or not, we're going to be changed to have immortal and imperishable bodies. So we'll all be with the Lord together forever. One more scripture that I want us to look at, and that's in Thessalonians. Go forward now to Thessalonians, and it's a repeat of what Paul said to the Corinthians that we just read about believers and those that are living in faith, believing the Word of God. And let me read verses. This is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 4, verse 13 through 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those that have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So, we have the Word of God, and we're learning about His Son, Jesus, why that He came to this earth, and why that He had to take on flesh and to die, just as suffering, just as man suffers today. So we have these words of God Himself to comfort us. And we believe the Word of God by faith. And through grace, we have been saved. And we have the promises of God that we too, whether we fall asleep now, in other words, whether we die now, or whether we are living when Christ comes, that He is coming. And that when He comes, those that have died, they will come forth first out of the grave. And then we that are living will be caught up with them to meet Jesus in the air, and there we're going to go and be with him forevermore. Now, we look at all of this that we've studied today, and then you can ask yourselves, and I can ask myself, do I believe what I have just read and studied in God's Word? Yes, if I am a believer, if I have been sanctified, I believe by faith, I believe, and through His grace, I am sanctified, and each of us are. Let us close in prayer. Thank you, Father, that Jesus, in all of His glory, left His throne and came to this earth, God Himself, and took on flesh just as man. And He was tempted just as we are. He suffered just as we suffer. He prayed just as we pray, because He was in the flesh. And He felt everything in being in the flesh as we do. And we're so thankful that He had so much love. We can't even begin to comprehend this kind of love that He had for us, that He would come and walk upon this earth and suffer and go through all that we go through and so much beyond what we go through. We're so thankful. We just can't find the words. But we praise you, Father. And one day, when we all come together and face Him face to face, we'll understand all that is written. Father, thank you so much that you had it written down. You wrote it with your finger and you gave it to these men that you had to write it down. And we're so thankful that you did, that we may know and that we may believe. We ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Amen.